There are many precious moments in the service. The gift of the flowers, the gift of the beauty of the spring, the promise of youth, the recitation of the Hallel, the great psalms of praise which were spoken and sung by the Levites in the temple in Jerusalem thousands of years ago, a festival such as this, psalms which praise God for life, consciousness, and all that sustains life, the chanting of the Torah portion, Ten Commandments. This ancient synagogue, this day was celebrated as a memorial of Zman Matan Torah, the time when Moses received the revelation, God's instructions on Mount Sinai. But I sometimes feel that we come to the message, to the central theme of Shavuot confirmation. We come to the reading of the Megillah, the reading of the Book of Ruth. It's an old practice which antedates by several thousand years, confirmation. Originally, the Shavuot was a harvest festival. Israel is in a subtropical climate. There are two harvests each year. There's a spring wheat harvest and a spring barley harvest. And in the Book of Ruth, we read that once Ruth went back to Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi, relative Boaz allowed these two impoverished women to glean with the women who were cutting his fields in the springtime, in the harvest of wheat and the harvest of barley. Since it was the custom, or became the custom in the synagogue, to read one of the scrolls from the Torah on each of the festivals, this association was enough to identify the Book of Ruth in Shavuot. But over the years, I've been constantly impressed by one of the mysterious facts about our Bible, and that is in how much, however much our traditions change, however much the emphasis, the shaping of a particular festival may differ from what had been before, somehow the readings that are appropriate to it continue to have meaning. And this is particularly so when we look at the Book of Ruth. The story you know, two brothers, sons of Naomi, farmers in ancient Israel, leave Israel for the east, for Moab. There's been drought and famine. They're seeking a way to make a living. And so mother and her two sons go to Moab, and the sons marry there two women of Moab, Orpah and Ruth. And their fortune does not change. In fact, it gets worse. The two brothers die. In ancient times, it was impossible for a woman to earn her own living. When her husband had died, and she did not have adult sons, all she could do was to return to her ancestral tribe, who would provide for her in one way or another. And that's what Naomi tells Orpah and Ruth to do, return to your mother's tribe. And Orpah does what she's told. It's the only wise, prudential thing to do. But Ruth has grown particularly close to Naomi, to her mother-in-law. And the words which were read out today, she says to Naomi, entreat me not to leave you, cease from following after you. Whither you go, there will I go. Wherever you lodge, there will I lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Here we have the theme of continuity, family tradition, of religious continuity and religious traditions, which is elemental, basic to confirmation. What is confirmation but really the binding together of the generations? The parents, the grandparents are sitting here beside you. They have lived their lives within the traditions which are consecrated by this synagogue. You have seen in your home the values which were precious are precious to it. And by being here this morning, you are saying, in effect, I consecrate my life to the religion and to the people of Israel. I share with my parents, my grandparents, their concerns, their faith, and their hopes. Now when Ruth said to Naomi, wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge, your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God, she could not know what the future would bring. What she knew was that she was tied by the bonds of love to one whom she cared deeply about, to the values which she had seen Naomi represent. But they were, after all, two impoverished women going back to, at best, an uncertain future. According to the book of Ruth, it all worked out in the end, but Ruth could not have known that. None of us who sit here with you, stand here before you today, can know what the future holds in store for you. We sense this morning your promise. We know that in an hour or so you will go back to being the adolescents that you were before you came into the sanctuary, just the kinds of people you were then. But for a moment, you and we have sensed the adult person within you. You and we have sensed the values to which your lives will be dedicated. But you know, in a few minutes, two members of the class that was confirmed at this altar in 1932, 50 years ago, will come forward and they will give to you your Bibles. And when they do, I know I will be thinking of the fact that if these two people had been confirmed not here in this sanctuary in 1932, but say one of the great congregations of Frankfurt, Berlin, Hamburg, their lives would have been so different. None of us can look beyond the veil of tomorrow. None of us can guarantee you your future. And so at a moment like this, where the future is before us and we're thinking about what lies ahead, all we can say to you is this, that there's two ways to live. One can exist, make out as best one can, live from day to day without meaning or purpose or direction. One can live. One can live a life which is dedicated to high principles, to development of the fullest of one's talents, to a life which is committed in one way or another to the service of family, of friends, of community, of mankind. And if that's the kind of life we live, our lives are consecrated by high purpose, that each day will have beauty and meaning and we'll go to bed at night peacefully, content, knowing that we've done what we should have done, what we wanted to do, something worthwhile. That's what this service is all about. We're dressed in robes, not in everyday clothes. We're in a closed-in, magnificent sanctuary, different from the world in which we go to school and work and play. We touch here something called holiness, a word no one can define, but everyone somehow dimly perceives and apprehends. But what is holiness? Holiness is that sense that beyond eating and working and making out, there is a divine purpose to life. Beyond the everyday, there is consecration. And that if, in some way, each of your lives, each of our lives, is consecrated to some high purpose, depending upon your very special talents, your very personal interests, then this much we can guarantee you, that your life, for all the aggravations that it may face, for all the challenges which you'll have to surmount, your life will be meaningful, happy, full of that which we call blessing, fulfillment. Because you will have shape, you will have purpose. One way, the way which lacks holiness, is aimless. The other way is holy, has purpose. Make the high and hard decisions. Truly consecrate yourself this day, the values which this service, this synagogue, your family represents. Amen.